This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to my podcast. I'm so happy to welcome General Jerry Boykin to talk today about what's going on in our country with this COVID-19 pandemic, and to talk about it in a little bit different way and how it's kind of brought the left out to show their true colors as if we didn't know it already. And this is something that I deal with in my new ebook that's coming out next week called God, Trump, and COVID-19. And I sort of dealt with this in the book, and so I'm just fascinated with what General Boykin has to say, so stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and General Boykin, thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to talk to me on the same day that you're going to be on the Jim Baker Show, I guess, talking about some of the same issues.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's just talk about what is happening with the left. I have been stunned with how quickly some of these mayors and governors, all of them Democrats as far as I know, have been willing to tell people to snitch on their neighbors if they see someone that's not staying in place or putting restrictions on the church that I thought I would never live to see. And yet at the same time, a lot of these same places, it does vary a little bit from state to state, but they are not letting churches meet, even arresting people like Rodney Howard Brown, who's a friend of mine, and leaving the abortion clinics open, leaving liquor stores open, the states that allow marijuana, selling marijuana. What in the world is going on?
Yeah, well, I think this is their true colors, as you said. We're seeing what they really are, what they're about. And, you know, the reality is that most of these extreme leftists are Marxist at heart. They'll call it socialism, but I mean, it's Marxism. If you know anything about what Marxism stands for, and ultimately Marxism, at its roots, it's atheistic. You know, Karl Marx was a hardcore atheist, and I think that what you're seeing now with regards to the targeting of ministry and targeting of Christian churches and Jews, quite frankly, just, you know, think in terms of what happened up in New York at the Jewish funeral. And what they're doing now is they have an environment where we're willing to accept that. We're willing to tolerate this usurping of our constitutional privileges, our constitutional rights, and they're going after what they've been targeting for a long time. At the same time, they're letting, as you said, they're letting the bars and the marijuana shops and even abortion clinics continue, and we're seeing what they're really all about.
So they have eliminated, at least here in the state of Florida where I live, elective surgery, but abortion, and I have not researched if it's happening in Florida. I have read news that in a lot of states, abortion is allowed. So I would say if there's any thing at all that's elective surgery, it's abortion, because they even call it choice. And so you're right, they're showing their true colors. And you know, it's one thing about the liquor stores and everything else, but here in my area, Home Depot is open and it's full of people. There'll be a couple hundred people in there trying to stay 6 feet apart, buying plants or fertilizer. Actually, I go in and buy plants and fertilizer myself. And there is no constitutional right for Home Depot to be open, but there's a constitutional right for churches to be open. And I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago with a historian who talked about the Spanish flu of 1918. And in that case, schools and churches were closed for a while. And of course, that in some ways was much, much worse, because you know, the population of America was probably about 100 million at the time. And, you know, there were 500,000 people who died, and they died in a very short period of time, which is far, far worse than what we're seeing now. However, things got back to normal pretty quickly. It was like the epidemic or the pandemic just sort of ended. So there is, you know, there are precedents. I did another podcast on the pandemic of 1665 when Sir Isaac Newton could not be at Cambridge because they closed down all the universities and so forth. And that is the time in which he discovered the law of gravity and calculus and did a whole bunch of creative stuff. That was what my podcast was about. But, you know, we don't, at least I don't know a lot about previous pandemics. There is some precedent to shutting things down when there's a health issue. But it's like somebody said, this is the first epidemic ever in history where the healthy are quarantined. Usually it's the sick who are quarantined. What do you think is going on?
Yeah, well, just think about the fact that in the First Amendment, there's actually five constitutional rights there. Five. And I would make the case that they're all really focused on the freedom of religion. I mean, Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble to petition their government for the redress of grievances. Five constitutional rights. All five of them have been usurped in this confusing, chaotic period that we're living in right now. And again, I go back and say ministries and churches have been particularly targeted, and it all comes back to this Marxist foundation that has become so pervasive in America. And you can't say that that's not true, because all you have to do is look at the people who ran for Congress on the Democratic leftist side, and almost every one of them was a Marxist. They would call themselves a socialist, but even those that weren't were drawn to in that direction as a result of the campaign, where they it became fashionable to determine who was further left. And now we're seeing this, now that they have a window of opportunity to go after ministries, to go after churches, they're taking advantage of that. And I think that you have to ask yourself, okay, so what's the next excuse for going after ministries and churches and arresting people for sitting in the in their own car listening to their radio as a pastor stands up in the parking lot and preaches? That is beyond comprehension that they would do that. But it's happening right here in America, and it's frightening.
I agree with you, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast. Of course, there are people who are pushing back. Liberty Council is one of them. They got Hillsborough County down here in Florida to back off of their order about Rodney Howard Brown and the river at Tampa Bay Church. And Governor DeSantis specifically said that churches were essential. I'm not sure how that changed anything, except that I guess you could have groups of 10, or you could have church in the parking lot. But I've been astonished, at least here locally, which is, you know, mostly what I see, other than, you know, whatever you pick up on the media, with how passively the churches have gone by along with this. In our county, there have been a few cases that you see in the media. I don't personally know of anyone or know of anyone who knows anyone in our area that has this disease, yet we're treating it like it's the bubonic plague and almost like you're afraid to be around other human beings. Now, of course, we don't want to get it out of control, but it looks like the death rate is not going to be a whole lot worse than a bad flu season. And, you know, I only have a general knowledge of automobile accidents, but I mean, you know, people are probably die driving to church in some instances. You know, we don't, or driving other places, we don't outlaw automobiles. And, you know, it's just something that we kind of live with. So what do you think the outcome is going to be? Because like you said, it's the pandemic this time. What is it going to be next time that the churches just all kind of passively go along with, now that we've kind of proven that we would do that?
Yeah, I think that's the real concern here is if we are willing at this point to give up our freedoms in the interest of security, particularly when we now realize that we have not been told the truth by every doctor or every healthcare professional that has been on national TV telling us you know, what to expect here. The reality is, we've been given a lot of nonsense. These models that we were given have not proven to be true. And of course, they can say, but we did what we recommended, and therefore that reduced the models. Not quite. All you have to do is look around at some of the other countries, you know, that have done similar kinds of things, but their models, even without doing everything that we have done, their models don't reflect what we're seeing. There is proof that in fact some people have died with COVID, but not as a result of COVID. But they've been counted in many cases as one of the deaths from COVID-19. So we've been told things that don't seem to be entirely true. And then we've had some incredible bureaucrats around our president that were unwilling to go beyond longstanding protocols or longstanding procedures and recognize that we are at war. This is a war. You take risk in wars, and we are in a war. Now, whether it was caused by accident or whether it was intentional but on the part of the Chinese remains to be seen, and there is some evidence both ways. I will not make a judgment on that, but what we do recognize is that it came out of a biological warfare lab in Wuhan, or near Wuhan. I think it was about 20 kilometers south of Wuhan, and we know it came out of there. It didn't come from a wet market. It came out of there. The intelligence tells us that, but the Chinese at worst, or at best, mishandled the whole thing and are very much responsible for ultimately its spread across the entire world, because they didn't do the right things to begin with.
I agree with you. And in fact, I have a whole chapter on China in my book, God, Trump, and COVID-19. I actually got some information from a Chinese American pastor who was getting the information from his friends on the ground floor. In fact, he wrote an email that I got on February 12th, which was pretty early in this whole process, saying that the Chinese government was lying. It was not really clear back then, talking about this lab. In fact, it sounded to me like it could be a conspiracy theory, and there was no way that I could personally check it out. So I reached out to a couple of missionaries that I knew over there, Dennis Balcom being one of them, one of the biggest podcasts I ever had. And, you know, he was confirming that, yes, people were saying it was a whole lot worse. They were saying it came from a lab. Of course, this email that I got, which I actually put in the book, had names and everything else. And it remains to be seen how truthful it was. But it was just interesting that I was sent that. And so, it piqued my interest. I did a couple of podcasts with Dennis Balcom and some other people from China, talking a lot about how it affected the churches. And it actually gave the churches an opportunity to minister. People were more open to it. They actually continued to have services, but they would check temperatures when people came in the door. And if they had a fever, they wouldn't let them in. And everybody in the church wore a mask and, you know, avoided touching their noses and mouths and, you know, all the stuff they tell us to do. I think at the beginning of this, we did not know if this was going to be another bubonic plague, and we couldn't wait to find out. But I think they should have just told people to wear masks and not touch a lot of stuff and let people decide themselves what risk, because the few people that I know that got it, like they were at a funeral, and nobody, this was so early, nobody knew to be careful. And somebody at the funeral had it, and a bunch of people caught it. You know, they were probably shaking hands and everything else. And most of the people who got it seemed to not be careful. But the people that are careful you know, there's no way, of course, that I can check out this, but just what I see around here and even what I see in the media, because I know the media well enough to know that if people got COVID-19 when they went to somewhere with a mask and everything else, you know, they'd make a big deal about it. And because, of course, people are interested in that kind of thing. So it's just interesting how this is affecting other countries. Have you paid any attention to that? Because this is not just an American problem. It's virtually every country in the world is dealing with the same thing.
Right. You got a 99% chance of recovering even if you do get it. And as you have probably seen, Steve, there have been random tests. Just I think it was Boston, I'm not sure, where they went out and randomly tested people, and they found out that like one out of four people had had COVID and didn't know it. Either they were asymptomatic or their symptoms were such that they thought they just had a cold or a minor case of the flu. So what we've done is we've shut the whole country down. We've ruined our economy. We've ruined a lot of people's futures when there's a 1% chance that you're going to die from this. Look, I know a number of people that have had it, and I've talked to all of them, and they all, some of them actually had a very mild case, and others they had a stronger reaction, but many of them are, you know, closer to my age, which I'm 72, just turned 72 now, and most of them were certainly in their 60s, and they came through it in about 2 weeks. So what we've done is I believe, this is my personal view, that we've overreacted. Look, we are doing things now, as you just said, we're washing our hands, we're wearing masks, we're social distancing, we're doing all the kinds of things that we should be doing in a situation like this. But let America go back to work. Let people go back to work, and let's rely on individual responsibility. You know, if you're one of those kids that's out partying on the beaches of Florida there and discarding all social distancing and all of the prudent things you should be doing, then you ought to be held accountable for that. But look, if you're going to work every day and you're abiding by those things, and you're running even a retail store of some type, and you're providing for, you know, the plexiglass between you and the customer and those kinds of things, which we're doing now, let's go back to work and stop this usurping of our constitutional authorities. And that is what the long term, that's the greater danger than COVID-19, is accepting these kinds of restrictions when we're the most vulnerable people are my category of people, or people that are in bad health. We have to take different precautions than the average American. So I say get America back to work and let's move on with this.
I agree with you. So let's, as we wrap this up, let's talk about the election coming up. You know, when I wrote God, Trump, the 2020 election, the economy was flying high, but I had a chapter on why Trump might lose, and several reasons. One of it was the dishonesty of the left, the extreme, you know, how they could almost try to steal the election. Of course, that's a whole different discussion. But one of the ways is if the economy went in the tank. And frankly, at the time I wrote that, it almost seemed to me like an impossibility. Of course, nobody was foreseeing a worldwide pandemic at the time. So even in this follow-up book I do, of course, we don't know what's really going to happen. But I observe that in some ways, it may help Trump in the sense that he has shown strong leadership. He was closing the borders early, even though the Democrats were accusing him of being a xenophobe and not liking Chinese people. Nancy Pelosi was telling people to go to Chinatown. De Blasio was telling people it was safe to go on the subway, all this kind of thing. And Trump did this in spite of the fact that he was being impeached at the time. I mean, imagine the pressure, you know, to focus on that and not have to focus on, you know, some new SARS-like disease that we're hearing about for the first time in China. But yet he's been a strong leader. And also, to me, it seems like these leftist governors mainly, and some of the big city mayors, have been so extreme that it kind of shows the left's true colors. And I keep thinking the country's going to wake up and see what's going on. But on the other hand, even though this happens again and again and again and again, it seems like a lot of people are asleep, or the Marxists, as you call them, are even more extreme and in some ways gaining a foothold. So that's my opinion. These are things, of course, that I talk about in the book, and I guess that's why it's on my mind. But I'm interested in what you have to say. How is the president performed, and how do you think this will affect the election?
I think the president has provided an incredible level of leadership in our country at this particular time. And I found that chapter in your book to be one of the most interesting in there. And you made a very good point in the book. And you said, do not assume that Donald Trump is going to be reelected. Do not assume that. That's a dangerous thought pattern. And I agree with you. Look, we can look at it now. We can say, you know, we were hitting record levels in the stock market before all this pandemic, and our unemployment was for blacks and Hispanics, for example, was at an all-time high, and all the good indicators, consumer confidence and so forth. But now that has all changed, and you cannot assume that Trump's going to be reelected, because that the danger of that is then you will not work as hard as you need to work to ensure that reelection. You won't get out and encourage people to register and get and vote, or you won't get into a campaign, or you won't get in behind other candidates, down ballot candidates, you know. And that's the worst thing that can happen, is for you to take it for granted and then fail to do the things you need to get those candidates that you want in office, to include the president, to help get them to where they should be in helping to lead this country, especially in this crisis. Now, I think that there's something wrong with Joe Biden, but he's credible with a lot of people. In fact, I was just looking this morning at some polls, and it is very close between him and Donald Trump, and he's actually slightly ahead in some places in some of the key swing states. At least in the polling that was done. Now, we know how polls can be very misleading, but your point on that, I think, was rock solid. It was the best part of the book for me, because it was a message that I've been trying to spread to people. Don't take this for granted. Get out and work. Help with campaigns. Get people registered and go vote.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because that was why I wrote the book, number one, and why I've written this ebook sequel, because it kind of all bets are off now. And if anything, it's more important that we support the president, and not just because he's Donald Trump, but I believe that God's raised him up, but also the alternative on the other side. If the left gets in, all the stuff we've been talking about is going to be codified into law and into policies. And it's just going to be awful. So I believe that God has actually given the church a reprieve, and we've got to take advantage of it. So let me ask you the last question. Where do you see God in all this, and what do you expect to happen to the church as a result of this season that we've gone through with COVID-19?
Yeah, you know, I do believe that God is using this to sow the seed of revival in America. And all you have to do is look at the feedback that is coming back to big pastors like Greg Laurie in terms of the number of people that are watching his podcast, his webcast, his whatever you want to call them, as he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look at the feedback that's coming back to the number of people that are turning their lives over to Christ as a result of that. And Greg's not the only one. I mean, pastor after pastor that are having these broadcasts are getting feedback that people are turning to Christ. So I think that the foundations are being laid for a great awakening. And I see an awful lot of people now that have not generally shown any interest in things of faith that are now suddenly buying Bibles. Huh? You know, you're in the publishing business. You know that Bible sales are up. And you know that I've got a friend out in Sacramento that's a stockbroker, and he said he's got people that are not people of faith that are asking him to pray for them. And we're seeing vignettes like this all over the country. So I think God is right in the middle of this in terms of he's using this to bring people back to him. And I think that ultimately we will see a great harvest in this.
Well, that's a very encouraging way to end this podcast. Of course, as Christians, we know who wins in the end. We know that God has some kind of plan and purpose. It may not always be easy or fun or smooth, but God has a plan. And we can also take comfort in the scripture that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So mankind has gone through very, very difficult times in the past. The church has gone through difficult times in the past. And yes, we have to have strong faith that God's going to pull us through. So thank you, General Jerry Boykin, for being on my podcast. It's a real honor, sir, to have you and to get your insights.
Thank you.
And thank you to my listeners for tuning in today to my podcast. Share this with your friends and check out my new book, which is not out yet, but you can pre-order it, and it's going to be out in PDF form, an ebook form, in about a week. And then later, the print version, of course, will be on Amazon and all those kind of places. The best place to buy it is at our website, which is shop.charismamag.com. And you can back this up and write it down if you missed it. And if you order it from our website, you get an autographed copy. Just my way to give you a little incentive to go ahead and pre-order and buy it from us. So thank you for listening to the Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.